listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. First up this week is a first-time guest of the show, but definitely not a newcomer to the world of miles, points, and credit cards. Jason Steele is a credit card expert, writes about them pretty much every day. If you're just getting started and you're trying to figure out what the right card is and what your strategy should be, you know, there's a topic that isn't talked about very much. What happens if you apply for that first card and you get declined? What are you supposed to do? Well, Jason walks us through that today. It's definitely not something that I see talked about a lot, so I think this segment will definitely be valuable for a bunch of folks getting into the space. Next up, we're back with Jen, as always, to do another It's a Big Deal segment talking about Frontier Airlines and some changes and extensions that they've had with the Kids Fly Free program, a program that really does show some promise for family travelers. And lastly, we're wrapping up with Spencer back on the show from God Save the Points and Straight to the Point. He's got another award alert and some tips on how to find the right award. You know, these are the sorts of things that you need to jump on when you get the chance, and that's why you should be signing up for Spencer's newsletter. But we'll talk more about that when we get a little deeper into the show. Meanwhile, I'd love it if you would tell a friend about the show if you're enjoying it, and I'd love it if you'd drop us a line and tell us who you'd like to have on and what questions we can answer for you. You can email me, ed@pizzainmotion.com, and you can find us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all under Pizza in Motion. Lastly, if you'd share the show, we'd love that. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you're finding your podcasts, love it if you'd help us grow the audience. With all that housekeeping done, we're going to get right into that interview with Jason talking about what to do if you're declined for a credit card. Back on the Miles to Go podcast, and first-time guest with us, Jason Steele, who is, by and large, one of the best credit card experts I know. You can find him as a senior points and miles contributor on The Points Guy, and he is also the founder of a conference called CardCon, which is actually coming to my neighborhood of Washington, D.C. this year, which means for the first time in a long time, I might actually make it there, and Jason won't think that I'm just lying to him when I say every year. I'm trying to make it. Jason, thanks for being on the show with me.
Great to be here, Ed.
So Jason wrote a post on Experian just about 2 weeks ago, and it's a subject that we haven't covered here. We talk a lot about credit cards, and we talk a lot about what you can do with credit cards. And we certainly caution people on, let's make sure you're paying cards off at the end of each month. But there are certain fundamental pieces of the puzzle that people sometimes are afraid or ashamed to ask, but it's a curious question. And the title says everything. It was, what can you do when you're denied for a credit card? So Jason understands this topic at a very visceral level, you know, wrote a great summary of it. Jason, let's go through some of the things that might cause somebody to get denied for a credit card, and then let's talk a little bit about what they can do if they do get denied to get up with the end result that they want, which is ultimately to get a new card.
Sure. Well, you know, the first thing I tell people is when they're denied for a credit card is don't take it personally. You know, it's very hard to be rejected by anyone or anything. And certainly when you get denied for a credit card, it can feel like, you know, your whole financial life is being judged and you've come up empty. But it really isn't like that at all. The card issuers have very complicated algorithms that I don't even pretend to understand to decide to approve people or not. And often people with excellent credit are denied initially for a credit card. And that's the key word. You could be denied initially and you could still be approved on kind of a second chance, what people often call reconsideration. So the first thing I would do after I was denied, and I've been denied for credit cards on many occasions. First of all, you know, you submit the application online and it will either approve you or it will say, we don't have a decision at this time.
Yeah.
And that could mean that you'll be approved later, or it could mean that you'll be denied later. But either way, you have the expectation of waiting a little while till you get a letter in the mail. You don't have to. What I always do after I apply for a credit card, unless I'm immediately accepted, is I call that reconsideration line and I talk to a human being. And that is a lot more comforting than waiting for a letter in the mail. And it's at that time that they won't even say, well, we were going to deny you, but they will just consider your application right there. And they might come to a different conclusion than if you had waited for that letter to come in the mail. So what does that conversation look like? It's a pretty easy conversation to have. I used to be nervous before doing this, and now I'm not, because I know they're just going to kind of go over what was on the application, maybe clarify some things, and then maybe they'll ask me a few questions that might help them approve the application. And here's one interesting thing that listeners might not realize. The card issuer wants to approve your application perhaps even more than you want to be approved yourself. And we only have to think of the Wells Fargo scandal, where people were being approved for cards they didn't even apply for.
For sure.
You know, to realize that someone somewhere, maybe multiple people, are getting bonuses or incentives based on new accounts being opened. There's also cases of, in years past, applying for a particular credit card, even when you had that credit card. And they would tell me, oh, I see you already have that card. And they would say, well, we're happy to approve you for yet another one. So clearly someone was making bonuses on that. That's less common today. So you get on the phone with them.
A lot less common.
Yeah, that's true. So you get on the phone with them, and they'll say, well, let me go over this application with you. Could you verify your name and birthday and all that good stuff? Maybe they'll ask you to verify your income. And this is probably one of the key places that most people get wrong on their applications. You might want to be conservative. And in a lot of parts of life, that's important to be conservative, especially with financial decisions. But with a credit card application, they actually want to know all the sources of income that you have available to pay off that bill every month. So not only does that include, of course, your income from your job, but any side jobs you also have. It can include government benefits if you qualify for Social Security, welfare, any kind of government assistance, you can include that. You can also include child support, alimony, investment income that you get. But here's the real kicker that most people forget or don't realize. And I've talked to people in the credit card industry, and this was news to them. You could use the income of your spouse. And this was designed so that non-working spouses would not be denied a credit card. Right. One spouse goes to work, the other stays home, and they don't want that stay-at-home spouse to be, you know, financially dependent on the other spouse for things like a credit card. So the rules say as long as you have a reasonable expectation of access to that income for the purpose of paying a loan, then you are allowed to include it. So if I'm not employed and my spouse makes $100,000 a year, I can include that $100,000 a year on my credit card application. So that's important to know. So when you get that reconsideration line, you know, if you've already applied for the card and been rejected, you might want to re-examine all the sources of income that you can include and kind of update that application on the phone. So they'll look at those. They'll look at those things, and you know, then if they still can't approve you, there's a couple, three other options you have available. You can ask to have part of your existing credit lines reallocated. And so what does that mean? That means, let's say I'm applying for a Chase credit card. I already have maybe two other Chase credit cards. They might tell me, well, we don't want to increase the total amount of credit we're offering you. But we're willing to reallocate some of that existing credit. So if you have $5,000 on one card and $5,000 on the other, you could say, well, perhaps you could take $2,000 off of each of those cards and give me a new credit line on this new card for $4,000. And in many cases, they're happy to do that. If you think about it from the lenders or the card issuers, which they are lenders, from the card issuer's perspective, their exposure to you, to your risk of default, is the same. And that's all they really care about. You might be really, really excited to earn bonus, a sign-up bonus, or to enjoy some of the benefits of this new credit card. And you might even be thinking, oh gosh, I don't think they want to give me that sign-up bonus. They're not thinking that at all. They're thinking, what happens if this person stops paying their bills?
Right.
So as long as you can keep that exposure the same, often they're more than happy to, if you're already a customer in good standing with that card issuer.
Yeah. And I think also, too, it's worth noting that a lot of times they, you know, these credit card companies want to make sure that they have as much share of your wallet as possible. So, if you're using a different product and you're transitioning over, again, I'm not saying to be dishonest when you call, but I think, you know, as Jason says, laying out where you are from an income standpoint and being accurate. I think that the benefit for folks who don't apply for a lot of credit cards in calling reconsideration is I do think that the phone reps are pretty good at walking through asking you all the right questions. And I do think it's, you know, very fair to say that if you've got an America Express card in your wallet, let's say, and your goal is that you want to move that spend over to a new Chase credit card that's a better fit for you, well, you know, as Jason said, they want to give these cards because they want to continue to lend you money and potentially earn interest and merchant fees off of you using the card. So, we certainly don't want to be dishonest in any way, shape, or form. But as Jason said, you want to make sure you frame your income up correctly, including all of your different sources so that you get what you're actually entitled to.
Yeah. And you could include your current income as of that moment. So if you just landed a great new job or a promotion, you can use the income that you're making on that day forward. You don't have to look at last year's income necessarily. So that's a, you know, there could be a difference, especially if you just started working.
For sure. And I think, you know, it's also important to note too that, you know, the card companies are looking for a number of different red flags. And, you know, as Jason notes in his post, something like a late payment can cause you trouble. But again, there too, if you're calling the reconsideration line, you'll have a chance to walk through that with the phone agent and talk to them about why it happened and potentially help convince them that it isn't a problem, it was a mistake, and that, you know, maybe there are other, maybe the rest of your factors, your overall score and things like that would qualify you, but that late payment caused a red flag and you got turned down by the automatic process, if you will, when you first completed your application.
Yeah, and that goes to something that you can do. You know, this happened to me very recently. I'm almost embarrassed to admit, but I paid off a loan and I just kind of looked at the balance and paid that amount. And, a lot of people are probably predicting what's going to happen next. Well, over the few days it took for the payment to register, that loan incurred a little bit more interest on the matter of just a few cents or maybe a dollar or two. And so once I paid off that loan, I stopped making payments on it. Or once I thought I had paid it off, and sure enough, I had an unpaid loan of a few cents that had late fees and such. So within a couple of months, I saw my credit score not plummet, but drop by 50, 80 points. It was still in the excellent range, but just barely. And I was, of course, deeply concerned. I figured out what was wrong. I called the company up, which is a relatively small credit union. And, I was very apologetic and pled my case. And ultimately, they agreed to remove that negative information from my credit report. And my credit bounced back to where it had been before. So a similar issue happened once with my wife's student loans, where she had to set up automatic payments. And they never actually executed correctly and recorded it as a missed payment. In that case, we were also able to appeal to the lender to rescind that negative information that ended up on her credit report. So those are two things you could do. You know, if you have maybe one late payment that could really hurt your credit, you could remove it that way. I mean, if you were legitimately late, you couldn't come up with the money, you just forgot about the bill, you probably won't get a whole lot of sympathy. But those were two instances where we did get that. But the other things I might do before applying for a credit card would be to pay off my existing balances. And you might be saying, especially if you're into travel rewards, that, hey, I always pay my balance off in full every month. But that's not quite the same thing. And I discovered this the first time I had my looked at my credit report when I was preparing to buy a house. And it showed all these balances and all my cards. And I'm thinking, well, that's crazy. I've never carried a balance in my life. But then I realized that every month when that statement is generated, that balance is money you owe. They don't know that you're going to pay it back in full. So you owe that money on your credit report. So the solution is, and this works great before you apply for a mortgage, but it could even work before you apply for a credit card if you're charging a lot every month, is to pay your balance off before your statement closes. And that way your statement will have a zero or very close to zero balance. You'll be seen as a much lower liability when you apply for that credit card. You'll have very little balance appearing on your credit reports.
For sure. And that is a very little known fact. It's something that I ran into probably similar to you a number of years ago, trying to get a mortgage. And I had a bunch of cards that I used for business purposes, and we charged a bunch, and the underwriters wanted to know, you know, what all the balances were. And of course we, you know, brought in statements and showed them that they were all zeros, and they certainly understood it, but it took some time for them to work through that. And I think, you know, when we think about the overall picture here, you know, it's not a sin. It's not a bad thing to necessarily get denied for a credit card. But I think in summary, it's important to understand why you got denied. And I think today versus 10 or 15 years ago, it's much easier to get a hold of your credit score. In fact, if you have any of the major credit cards, you know, almost all of them offer a free score, you know, generally the FICO score. And keeping an eye on that so you can see where you're at is a good indicator of if you have a problem, like Jason indicated, where he had a loan that was, you know, that he owed a few cents on, or a problem with student loans. And, you know, keeping an eye on those things so that you know that your credit is in as good shape as possible before you apply for that card.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I look at it as like, you know, showing up for a picture shoot. You know, you want to comb your hair and be freshly shaven and put on a clean shirt. Well, in the same way, when I apply for a credit card, I want to try to pay off any balances I have, even, you know, weeks before they might be due, so that when I call that reconsideration line, they're going to look at my credit report, or they'll look at the, you know, the accounts that I currently have, and they'll say, oh, wow, we see you don't even have a balance, so you're not much of a risk to us issuing you a new card. And so since I've started doing that, I don't think I've been denied a credit card, but, you know, it can happen to anyone, that's for sure.
For sure. It happened to me recently because, unfortunately, I miscounted, and I hit the dreaded 524 restriction with Chase just in time to not be able to get the Southwest Companion Pass a couple weeks ago.
Oh, no, that's too bad. Well, actually, I think you're better off, because as I've been telling some friends and family members, I think it's better to get the two cards now and get the Companion Pass until the end of 2020 than it was to get that single card a few weeks ago to get the Companion Pass till the end of 2019. You also, if you do the two-card strategy, you end up with ultimately 110,000 points as opposed to just over 30,000 points.
No, it's a good point, and I think there are different strategies for different folks, and I certainly need to go back and redo my 524 math, but I'm very thankful for having Jason on the podcast. We're going to link to his post. You can also find him writing very frequently on The Points Guy about a number of different topics involving credit cards and the wonderful world of points and miles. Jason, when you're not hanging out here on the podcast with me, tell folks where they can track you down.
Well, I'm at Real Jason Steele on Twitter. My website is jasonsteele.com, and as we always have to say, Steele with an E on the end.
He did get the extra E on the end, and if you're really interested in taking it to the next level, check out CardCon as well, which I think is just cardcon.com, right?
It's cardconexpo.com, and that's a media conference for people like Ed and myself who cover credit and credit cards for a living. So unfortunately, it's not like a frequent traveler university where you can go there to learn all these credit card tricks. It's more like about how the industry worked and how we as journalists cover the credit card industry.
Well, Jason, thanks a bunch for being on the podcast with me. Safe travels, and hopefully we'll have you back on again soon.
Thanks a lot, Ed. I'll look forward to it.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. While we're taking a quick break from the show, I wanted to let you know about our monthly Amazon gift card giveaway. Each month, we're going to give a $50 Amazon gift card to one of our mailing list subscribers. As long as you stay subscribed, you'll have a chance to win each time we have a giveaway. We'll always send you the best travel info, and we'll never sell your email address to anyone. You can subscribe right on our homepage, milestogo.boardingarea.com. Back on the Miles to Go podcast with Jen from Deals We Like to catch everybody up on the latest deals. Jen, thanks for being back on.
Thanks for having me, Ed. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
So we're catching up on Frontier again, you know, who seems to be making the news quite frequently as they continue to extend the dates for the Kids Fly Free promotion that they released just a couple months ago.
Right. Yeah. So back in January, they released this pretty awesome promotion where kids will fly free for their parents, one kid for every parent, which is kind of pretty awesome. I mean, I know Frontier is very limited to certain hubs, but if you live in a frontier hub, this is a great way to fly literally for like 50% off.
Yeah, and I think the other thing to keep in mind for folks is that Frontier has sort of like the dartboard approach to spinning up new routes too. So even if they you don't see something today, you should definitely keep checking, because they consistently announce new flight pairs, and some of them can be pretty odd. So you'll never know when your city will pop up.
Absolutely. No, I mean, even a few days prior to them announcing this promotion, they put Boston on their route map, and all of a sudden now you can fly from Boston, where I'm located, to a few new cities. They previously had Providence, but so now there's, you know, a handful of options, not everywhere you'd like to go, but there's definitely some options for families out there. And this is really one of those like no, you know, strings attached type of promotions, similar to like when I talked about the Southwest promotion with your companion pass. This works kind of similar in a sense that kids, I believe it's under 15, so 14 and younger, can fly for free with every paid adult fare. And there are some ridiculously low paid adult fares. And the funny thing is, if you have older kids plus younger kids, that your younger kid can even fly free with your older kid who's over 15. So depending on kind of what your family dynamic is and ages, you can do some pretty well with this promotion. For me, for example, we have two kids. So if we were to take advantage of this, both kids would be flying for free.
Yeah, and we've confirmed with Frontier it's last seat availability, or last two-seat availability, if you will. If you can, as long as there's two seats left on the plane, it'll let you buy one and get the second one free. And as you say, it's applicable to all adult fares. So when they have their, you know, $20 fare sales, you know, a $20 fare will pair with this just as well.
Right. And so unlike Southwest, you actually aren't paying any of those extra taxes and fees. Now, there are some other limitations that I'll get to in a second, but there is no extra hidden costs associated with this, which is pretty nice. I mean, it's free as free can be. And the only kind of caveat to this promotion is you're limited to certain dates. So if you want to fly, you know, Friday night and come back Sunday night on those peak dates, those dates are probably not going to be applicable. They have a chart up on their website, which dates qualify between now and beginning of August. Typically, it's pretty much Tuesdays and Wednesdays. There's a few Thursdays or even Saturdays thrown in there, but Tuesdays and Wednesdays, for the most part, are your primary free days to travel. And the only other requirement is that it's only for U.S. flights. So if you're looking to take Frontier somewhere in the Caribbean, they go to select destinations that will not qualify. So this is for U.S. fares only on select dates. And the other one big consideration that I forgot is that you must be a Discount Den member. So Frontier has this interesting membership program where if you pay about $60 for the year, you can be a Discount Den member. And that membership typically gets you slightly less fares. So if a fare is $69, you'll probably pay $59. Usually it's like a $5 to $15 difference. And the best part is that only one person in your family has to have that membership. So as long as you all book on that one person's Discount Den account, you'll all be able to take advantage of the lower fares and the kids fly free promotion. I mean, and all you have to do is purchase that Discount Den membership once for the year, and then you can get those lower fares and the promotion an unlimited number of times.
Yeah, and there's two other details that I would mention. One is you only need the Discount Den membership for one member of the family. Doesn't need to be for everyone. And then the other thing too, I think the thing I really like about this, as you say, there aren't a ton of dates where they're doing this, but I think from a complication standpoint or from a simplification standpoint, on any of these dates, it's every single flight they have. So there's a phrase that rolls around the points and miles community. It's called chase the fare, not the destination. And so, you know, maybe you really wanted to go to the East Coast of Florida, for a trip with your family. But if the West Coast of Florida is available, on one of those dates, you know, book it. Book somewhere, you know, just find some place to go. Take a super cheap trip where you're not paying for a couple tickets and explore with your family.
Absolutely. And even though it's limited to just Tuesdays and Thursdays, they actually have not excluded many spring vacation weeks. So, you know, up here in Boston, they have April vacation. Those dates on Tuesdays and Wednesday are still available. So while you might not go on a vacation Tuesday and come back the next day on Wednesday, maybe you fly Frontier on Tuesday, get your kids fly free and fly back on a different carrier or even Frontier if it makes sense, using a different type of promotion on the return. So I like that they didn't really black out so many popular dates, or, you know, when you get out of school in June, you can go on a vacation. You have the whole summer. I mean, that's pretty flexible.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Very flexible, very open when, you know, when the dates work for you.
Absolutely.
Well, Jen, thanks a bunch for coming on and talking some more about this promotion. I have a feeling we're going to keep talking about it as long as they keep it going.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Right now, you know, it's only through, they keep on extending the book by date by every few weeks. So even if you see a date now that's in a few days, there's a good chance that that book by date will just keep on being pushed out 2-3 weeks at a time. It's an interesting promotion and rollout how they're doing it, but as of right now, they hope to do it, consistent basis through the year. But I think they're kind of testing the waters, like, if you will. So hopefully, everyone can take advantage of. I'd love to be able to take advantage of it myself, but we'll see. There's limited routes from Boston, but hopefully, something will work out.
Yeah, for sure. I'm in the same boat as you, wanting to test it out. So
yeah,
hopefully, we'll both be able to do that soon.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jen, for being on the show. When you're not on here, tell folks where they can find you.
Absolutely. You can find me on my blog, dealswelike.com, as well as social media. So Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, everything at dealswelike. Or send me a note, dealswelike@gmail.com, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Safe travels, Jen. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, you too.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. Back on the Miles to Go podcast to talk the best ways to use your miles. And so we brought back Spencer from God Save the Points and Straight to the Points to talk about an award alert that he found recently, and then just a couple of quick reminders on how you can make sure you're using your miles the best way possible. Spencer, thanks for being back on the show.
Be here, Ed.
Yeah, and I'm glad to see some more alerts ramping up from your award alert service. We'll talk a little bit about how people can sign up in just a minute. But the current deal that caused me to want to get on and record with you, which we're crossing our fingers will still be widely available when the episode goes live, was a business class deal you found for families, which is right up my alley. Easy ways to book 4 tickets on Swiss Air to get to Europe.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't love lying down while flying to Europe? I know some people say that, you know, they can deal with economy, but still, you know, if you're traveling with kids, I think it's also nice to let them take a nap.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. I mean, it's a non-starter unless you want that first day and maybe even the first couple of days in Europe to be just a complete bomb for my kids if they don't get to sleep on the way over.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, this most recent award alert, we had I was seeing 4 business class seats on Swiss Air out of Montreal. I would say most people probably don't think about flying out of Canada, but there are connections on United and Air Canada or Air Canada Rouge up to Montreal from the U.S. So it's actually not too difficult to get there. And that's just I know it's a little bit kind of a outside the box way to start your award search, but start looking from Canada instead of looking from what you would typically look at from the U.S., like, you know, New York, Chicago, L.A. So it was just it's an easy way to get over to Europe. It was it's for November and December. So if you want to do a little holiday trip, I think it's a great option.
Yeah, I think so too, and I think you bring up a really good point about Canada, especially for folks who are on the Eastern Seaboard. I like to say for folks who live in my hometown, in your hometown of DC, that, you know, one of the benefits if you happen to choose United as your airline of choice, or you happen to have, say, Chase Ultimate Rewards points that easily transfer to, say, a United, that the benefit there for you can be that you end up with a whole bunch of quote-unquote hubs, if you will, because you obviously have Dulles, but Toronto and Montreal are pretty easy to get to and both very well served by Air Canada. So it's a great backup option to get to Europe from DC or the surrounding areas.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another kind of great part about this award is that, you know, you can actually use Aeroplan Miles, Air Canada's own program, which is a transfer partner of Amex and Capital One. And I mean, they don't charge or they don't pass on the surcharges on Swiss awards, unlike some of their other partners. So, I mean, 55,000 miles is a one-way business class ticket and you don't have surcharges. I mean, that's great if you have, like I said, Amex points or Capital One miles.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that it's an underutilized option for American Express membership rewards points, especially when you consider that, you know, in some cases, you know, Toronto and Montreal have duplicating service of, you know, places you can go out of Dulles. And so, again, from that Eastern Seaboard standpoint, you know, where you're positioning to, if you're trying to connect through Dulles, connect through Toronto, connect through Montreal, think about, say, Porter as a possibility to get to get up to Toronto. You have to change airports when you get up there. But they fly to Billy Bishop, the smaller airport in Toronto. And so that's another way to get up there, to position yourself to leave from a different gateway. And I think that's the key, especially when you're talking about, you know, it's an awesome award availability that you found for four seats, you know, nonstop. And, you know, from this area of the country, we do see it from time to time. Don't get me wrong. I've been able to take my family over there. But you know, sometimes you have to get creative if you're going to want to move a larger group of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the key here is like if you're that you have to be flexible in some way to get four business class seats. That might be dates. It might be your kind of the airport you're flying out of, whatever it takes. But it's like, you know, if you want to get it done, like if you're just a little bit flexible and you kind of, you know, put a little just a little effort in, or I guess if you just like pay attention to my award alerts, then you can kind of find your way, you know, really around the world and go to places that, you know, go to places with four people in the same flight. It's definitely tougher, but it's available. I mean, I've even just recently seen four business class seats to Australia. So it's, you know, you can get just about anywhere. It's just a little bit of work.
I agree. And that's an awesome segue into our reminder for folks. So tell folks where they can sign up for your award alerts list and make sure you emphasize the price.
Yeah, it's my site straighttothepoint.co. I know it's very unusual, but straighttothepoint.co /award-alerts. I don't know. We can link it up in the show notes, but it's
we absolutely will.
Yeah, you sign up. It's a free newsletter. I try to send an award alert out every couple weeks. At some point, I would love to develop it into a weekly thing. Just a matter of balancing time right now. But it's we focus, I mean, I focus, it's just me. I focus on doing business and first class awards internationally, and specifically four seats in business class, especially unless it's just kind of a hard to get award. Like recently I sent out one about flying LOL with Qantas points. And that was like mostly for two or three people, but it's really hard to get the LL flight from, you know, New York City or Toronto nonstop to Israel. So that was, you know, that was a tough to get one. So that made sense. But yeah, I try to stick to finding multiple seats and making it easier for those who want to travel with others and aren't necessarily just solo travelers looking for that one seat.
Yeah, and I can verify for folks having been on the mailing list since right from when it started that Spencer does not spam. You're not going to get a bunch of junk mail. And as he says, the alerts come out, you know, somewhat infrequently. And I think the only thing I can hope for is that we're going to see more of it in the future. For now, though, I'd say if this sounds interesting to you, make sure you hop over to Spencer's site in case the deal is still live. Remember that Canada is a great place to connect if you're trying to get to other continents. And Spencer, tell folks where they can find you when you're not hanging out in the podcast with me or sitting in the laboratory trying to find awards.
You can find me on, I'm using Instagram now. I'm trying to explore that, but I'm doing a weekly kind of Q&A. So my Instagram handle is straight to the points. And on Thursdays, I'm calling it Travel Talks Thursdays. You can hang out with me under whatever photo I post and we'll talk about, and you know, I'll pick a program. This past week we did a Aeroplan. Next week I don't know yet, but we'll find a fun one and just kind of talk about how to use that program. Other than that, you can find me on Twitter at Spencer for Miles.
Travel Talk Thursdays went deep into the originality basket with that name, Spencer. I really appreciate you being on the podcast. Safe travels. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, man. I'll talk to you again.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. back to wrap up this week's show with the final two pennies and two reminders for folks based on our segments today. The first, after we're talking with Jason Steele about what to do when you're declined for a credit card, is just another reminder that if you want to play in the award miles and points space, please make sure you're paying off your balances at the end of every month. You're never going to win the game of paying interest on credit cards and earning more value on those points if you're paying interest, especially when you think about the fact that most interest rates on credit cards start at 10% and go way up from there. So be smart, and if you can't afford to pay your balances off just yet, find the best cashback card you can and put that money that you get in cash back towards paying down the balance so you can join the game of miles and points. Secondly, that segment with Spencer about the award alerts. You know, I had a couple of notes, and I guess in my old age, I just forgot to cover it. But I think, you know, it's important to note, as Spencer and I talked about, why Toronto, Montreal, and generally speaking, north of the border are options to consider for you. There's two flights that have been added recently. One was an addition, and one was an upgrade, if you will. For starters, Toronto to Honolulu is now going to take place on a 787 for Air Canada. So you've got a much better plane. You can get there feeling a lot more rested now going forward on that route. Again, for Eastern Seaboard folks, real easy to jump up to Toronto to get to where you need to go. Also, Air Canada is adding Vancouver to Auckland, New Zealand. Australia and New Zealand have definitely been two places that have expanded greatly in terms of service offered, and it's great to see this as another offering taken off from the West Coast. It's another opportunity for us to use those award points to get to those treasured destinations. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. If there's a guest you'd like to see appear on the show, or if there are questions that we can help answer, please let us know. You can shoot us an email at ed@pizzainmotion.com, and you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Pizza in Motion. You can also hit us up at milestogo.boardingarea.com, and you can leave us a voicemail for us to read and answer on a future show. Thanks again for listening this week. Big thanks to Jason, Jen, and Spencer for helping put together a great show this week. We've got segments already set to go from Leslie about Disneyland. We've got some more stuff out there about award travel. We've got stuff about Hilton Amex offers. We've got lots of stuff coming. Just got to get these shows finished up and get them out to you guys. We're already finishing up next week's episode, but until then, we've got miles to go.